So as of yesterday morning, I had a very different message that I'd been working on and preparing. And then I had work off yesterday. I had to go to the Great Lakes Veterans Cemetery over in Holly. Has anybody been there before? It's a pretty cool place. My uncle passed away in June of 23, but as a veteran, why he gets the opportunity, if the family wants it, to be buried in a national cemetery, and they chose to do that. And so yesterday was his day of interment. And they don't allow a whole entourage to come in. I don't know what the limitations are. Because I know yesterday we didn't come near it. I think there was only 8 or 9 of us that went, but I believe it's under 20 people that they'll allow in at a time. And when you pull up, they've got or into the cemetery, they've got 3 designated lanes, and out in front of those lanes, they have a LED display board, and they'll have the veteran's name and tell you what lane you're to drive in, because they're going to escort you out to one of, I think, 4 or 5 pavilions where they do the ceremony. And so you kind of wait in that lane of traffic. You can get out and chat with the family, but this is highly organized. And when I say that, every half hour at these pavilions is another funeral or ceremony, and so you line up in the lane. And yesterday morning it was at 10 a.m. They escort us out with a different vehicle. We follow that vehicle out to the pavilion, and we get out. And once you're at the pavilion, you only have, I think it's like 12 minutes for the ceremony that they do on behalf of the veterans, plus anything that you want to add to it. You can add whatever you want, but you only have 12 minutes. And then you can hang out for a couple of minutes, and then you got to be gone, because at 10:30 there's going to be another group into that pavilion. The group I was with yesterday, I believe I was the only one that has been there in the past. And for those that haven't been, this place is immaculate. If you've seen pictures of what's the cemetery in Washington, D.C.?
Arlington.
This has some of the same attributes. So those rows of crosses, the white crosses, they're marble. This is done the same way. The grass is lush and green. They have sprinklers, and there isn't weeds out there. All the landscaping is very well done. The facilities are very nice. And they're making upgrades at the moment. But the veterans, years ago, the Veterans Administration decided that those who serve our country in an act of war, and are served during a wartime effort, should receive the dignity, the honor, to be laid to rest by their country as a last thank you for their service. And the Veterans Administration here in Michigan, there's 2 cemeteries, one down by Kalamazoo. I haven't been to that one. I've been over to Holly now, I think 3 or 4 times. But over in Holly, they chose a piece of land. I don't know how many acres it is. I suspect it's probably more than 200. It's slightly elevated and has some soft rolling hills to it, but it overlooks a natural lake. And when I say natural, it wasn't man-made, but it's also undeveloped. There's no houses on the other side of the lake. And it's a pretty decent-sized lake, or extremely large pond, if you want. The pavilion that we were at truly overlooked this lake. And in the background, there's just beautiful scenery, because because of our lower temperatures over the last week or so, there was just a few trees that were starting to show a little bit of color. But they've put just a lot of effort in, not originally, but ongoing, into this piece of ground. And then everything is highly choreographed. As I said, you know, every half hour at each of the pavilions, there's another ceremony, at least on the busy days. That's the way it works. And then the sequence of events for the individual service. So my uncle was in the Army. So there was two men from the Army that took care of the duties or responsibilities there. And they come out and they salute as we approach, because my cousin was carrying his urn with ashes in it. And then they receive the ashes and they put them on a platform, you know, at the center. And they salute him again. And then they turn and they go and retrieve a flag that's already folded. And they bring that out in front of us and they unfold that with meticulous choreographed movements. I mean, highly. If you get a chance to pull it up online, every move they make is timed so that they're in harmony with each other as far as their timing goes. They unfold that flag, they inspect it, open it all the way out, inspect it, show it to us, and then they go back and they refold it again. When they're done with the folding, then they present it, they inspect the fold, the triangulated fold, and then they present it to the next of kin, or the one chosen by the family to receive it. In this case, it was my cousin, their only daughter, and present it to her. And that's very formal, but I did find something really interesting. After they did the formal presentation, one of the men stepped back and then truly relaxed. You know, he was very stiff, and then he truly relaxed his posture, and he walked back up to my cousin and he said, "We just want to reiterate how sorry we are for your loss and his service to our country." And then he went back to full attention. And I thought that was a really nice detail to show that this wasn't all mechanical. Because up to that point, it seemed somewhat mechanical and timed out so precisely. The grounds and the elements that are there are somewhat simple. As I said, they're white marble crosses for those that are buried there. But then they have a wall, or well, they have a handful of walls where urns can be tucked into, and that's where my uncle is set. And the front place or placard of that wall for each of the cavities is done in white marble also. As I said, the group that was with us, there was several that made the comment right after the service at just, wow, that was kind of quick, but that was very reverent. And then they made comments about the grounds and how beautiful it was, and the attention to detail. But all this was or had been done in advance and was being done to honor those who served our country during a time of war. All that attention to detail, quite a bit of expense, but it was a last honor to those that had sacrificed so much for our country. And yesterday afternoon afterwards, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about this word honor. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I realized, I hadn't thought about it quite this way before, but when honor is due, or where honor is due, it requires or required sacrifice on both ends. In the case of my Uncle Wayne, So when he passed away last June, or a year ago June, he was 96. He had served as an army medic at the Battle of the Bulge. He was shot. He fully recovered from his wounds. I've shared with you that volunteering on the sheriff's department and being called out to deliver death notifications, I've been to quite a few scenes where the deceased was still there. And I've seen the aftermath in a sense. Can you imagine what Uncle Wayne saw? What he experienced? And what he brought back to the U.S. And then he's expected when he arrives back in the U.S. to just assimilate back into normal life, pick up and go. Now, he did fairly successfully. He became an engineer at GM, worked there for 35 years, I think it was, as an engineer. Enjoyed it. He was also a very accomplished potter. Did shows on the side. Was an accomplished musician and humorist. He always had a really good joke or comment to go around. One of the comments that were made both at his funeral and then even yesterday was that, you know, I never saw him unhappy or irritated or mad. Of course, there was times when he experienced all of those things, but he was the life of the party, in a sense, in a very positive way. You know, he wasn't the one that got drunk and turned it into a party. He was the one that just brought extra life and fun to a party. But he sacrificed a piece of his body. But then the emotional, the mental toll that took place for him, being a medic in a battle like that took place at the Bulge, what he saw, the horror as well as the death. So rightfully so, he was due some honor. And the Veterans Administration realized that that honor required some sacrifice on their part, that they will put forth the time and the effort, the money, you know, to do something like they did yesterday for him. But there's something that is changing at the national cemeteries. When I was there, I believe it was 3 years ago for a funeral, those lanes were all full. When I say they were full, at that time and yesterday, on average, it was like 5 or 6 cars per party or per ceremony. And when I was there 3 or 4 years ago, all 3 lanes were full with 2 to 3 parties in each lane waiting their turn. Now, yesterday, as we were pulling out, another party was pulling in. So at any given time while I was there yesterday, it looked like there was like four different ceremonies, you know, either about to take place or were on their way to being taken place. So there was a little bit quieter day yesterday for them. But if you think about it, at 96, when Uncle Wayne died a year ago, he truly is one of the very last of the World War II vets. There's not many of them left anymore. And that's where we lost a lot of men. We had a lot of men involved, well, I should say men and women involved through that war. After that, we've got Korea and Vietnam. The Vietnam vets are being buried now. That's their age, in a sense. You know, a lot of them are, you know, getting to be in their 70s and approaching 80, but not nowhere near the numbers that was in World War II. Korea, I've heard conflicting issues. I've heard that Korea was treated only as a conflict, but not an act of war. So I don't know if those that were in Korea are being buried in the national cemeteries or not. I tried looking that up quickly, and I didn't get a quick answer. So, but where I'm going with this is, those that were with me yesterday saw this huge display of honor, and put value to it. This was worth something. And they appreciated the honor that was given. But honor, not just in this country, but on this earth, is being lost. Our flag is not flown with pride the way it used to be. You can go ask any teacher what level of respect or honor they get from their students today versus 20, 30, 40 years ago. Go to a sporting event where the anthem is played, sometimes it's not. How many put their hand upon their heart? Yesterday we were told that when Taps was played, that if you were a veteran of any sort, you were to salute the flag while Taps was played. But those who were not veterans were to place their hand over their heart, and we all did. What about office of the president? Is that honored or respected anymore? Doesn't matter who's in it, but over the last 4 years, we watched and we heard a chant about Brandon pop up. So what happens when a country or a group of people abandon honor? We see one piece of evidence in Judges 21. Judges 21, verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel, and all the people did what was right in their own eyes. So a culture without honor is a culture with many self-gods. It's all about me. I don't care about you. It's about me. But what does God have to say about this? Well, we should know it by heart, Exodus 20 and verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. I phrase it that this is the commandment that we break most often and without realizing it. Every time we make a decision without consulting with God, we've taken it upon ourselves to be our own God. Again, I want us to keep in mind that we've seen that honor requires sacrifice on both ends. But now let's look, what is honor? I pulled up Merriam-Webster's 1828 definition this morning. It says, esteem due or paid to worth. To revere, respect, or to treat with deference and submission and perform relative duties to. In other words, honor is an expression of words and action. You can't just say, Mr. So are we given in teaching honor in our daily lives so that it is not lost by the next generation? So that the next generation decides to rule themselves. God doesn't want that to happen because, again, in Exodus 20 and verse 12, he says, honor your father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. When we were born, we were incapable. I'm still very incapable of things. But when we were born, we had to be cared for. We could not care for ourselves. We had to be looked after. We had to be taught by someone else. Therefore, honor is due to those caregivers. But who is the greater nurturer, protector, and teacher? Of course, it's our Heavenly Father and His Son. In 1 Samuel 2, in verse 30, therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your family and the family of your ancestor should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be treated with contempt. Each one of us has been treated with contempt by another person at one time or another. Didn't feel good. We can't even imagine what it'd be like for God to treat us with contempt. So one of the things that we need to consider with honor is that we must honor God, because He is our great caregiver. So do we daily honor Him for all the ways He has nurtured us? All the ways. All the ways that He's protected us. All the times that He's given us opportunity. All the ways that He's grown us. We could keep going on. What about the opportunity that He places before us, that opportunity for eternal life? In Proverbs 3 and verse 9, we read that, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. ROI. Return on investment. Well, God's saying, if we invest through Him, He guarantees a positive, bountiful return of that investment. So again, do we daily remember, recognize His great love and His mercy towards us? The sacrifices that He's made for us. Go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Here's a mention of one of those opportunities that we have. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify or honor God in your body. So daily we should be honoring God for what He's doing, what He's done, what He's sacrificed for us. We should also be honoring those who are in authority. That means nationally. That means locally. Civic-minded anyways. Also means church governments. Doesn't mean that we always agree with them, but we are to honor them. Go to Romans 13 and verse 1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Let's read that again. All authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Is there a but there? Is there an if? There's not. All authority comes from God. All positions of authority have been placed there by God, even when we think he did it wrong. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Again, this is very black and white. He's making it very clear. He's the one that's in control. Not only are we to honor those in that authority, but we're to give whatever it is they establish that we should give them, like taxes. And again, we may not be in agreement, but God makes it clear that we're not to simply only to honor the authority, but to yield to that authority. The only exception would be when it's outside of God's law. Romans verse 13, or 13 verse 7. He says, give to everyone what you owe them, pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Why? Because it was God who placed them in authority. And if they're stepping outside of the bounds that he or his will, he'll deal with it. And if that authority becomes a burden on you and I, we have the ability to go to him and cry out. And he will step in. He will bless, he will protect, and he will provide. Exodus 22 and verse 28 says, you shall not revile God or curse a leader of your people. So we are to honor all of those who God has chosen to place in office, despite our opinion. But it's not just God and those in authority that we're to honor. He takes it another step further, or a final step. We're to honor everyone. 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, honor everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Everyone. Doesn't matter their status, their background, we honor them. Doesn't matter their current choices, their lifestyle, that their opinion is different than ours. We honor them. Why? They were made in the image of God. He has plans for them. Now, they may decide to fight him on that. That's between them and him. But we're to honor them. So when did God specifically call you? Was it when you were 3 years old? Probably not. Was it when you were in your teens? Maybe. For me, it was when I was 45. I've shared with you, I grew up in this environment. It was a comfortable environment for me. I saw benefit to it. But I didn't go looking for God, seeking him. And I certainly wasn't going out of my way to honor him the way he would have me do that. Why did he wait till I was 45? I don't know. Why didn't he tap me on the shoulder when I was 44? Why not when I was 23? Or even 15? for whatever reason, he felt it best to tap me on the shoulder when I was 45. We don't know what's going on with that other person around us. That doesn't mean God's not working with them. Because I can tell you, God was working with me when I was 15, when I was 23, and when I was 43. I wasn't necessarily trying to run away from him. I just wasn't putting my effort in. But then in honoring others, why God says this in 1 Peter 3. Husbands, in the same way, show consideration for your wives in your life together, paying honor to the woman as the weaker sex, since they are too also heirs of the gracious gift of life. So that, oh, now there's a so that here. So that nothing may hinder your prayers. I don't always honor my wife the way I should, or I don't always think to honor the way I could, but she is a treasure for me. Maybe it was Monday. I come home and our dining room table is loaded with tomatoes. Some of you saw some pictures. And I just walked in and I go, what in the world? Why? Because her and I aren't eating tomatoes right now. But Lori knows how to can. She's somewhat self-taught. Her mom passed on some of that to her. But she has really taken that ball and she rolls with it really hard. And in just a matter of days, she'd canned up soup and spaghetti sauce. And I don't know what, I didn't keep up with all, I think salsa. And it's all very good. And she shares it with a lot of people. She shares the canning how-to with a lot of people. In Leviticus 19, there's another group of people we're told to honor. Leviticus 19, verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. I don't know if I qualify as a hoary head. I've got just so little hair now that... As I was growing up, I was taught that the hoary head was the old man with gray hair. But God says we are to respect our elders. I mean, of age, that is. Show them honor. If we allow honor to slip from our daily routine, we should probably expect that we're going to relive history. All the way back to the garden, where Satan's deception led Eve to believe that she could not trust God, not believe what he said, that she could make her own decisions and go against his will. If we allow honor to slip away from us, are we going to start looking to satisfy ourselves? Rather than honoring God, who has and wants to much more than satisfy us. He wants to bless us with abundance, with eternal life. Go to Malachi 1 and verse 6. Malachi 1 and verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is thy honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised God's name? He says, you have offered polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that, he says, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer a blind, or the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is this not evil? Offer it now up to thy governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? So God's saying this, when honor is due, are we going to give true honor? Or are we just going to extend the term? Verse 9, and now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us and has seen, been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle a fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, said the Lord, says the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even until the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. So again, now we're looking at another time when there's not going to be opportunity. The whole world will worship God. But verse 12, but you have profaned it in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You say also, behold, what a weariness it is, and you have snuffed at it. Now we're back to, is his honor worthy of a sacrifice? A clean and a perfect sacrifice. And you brought that which is torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, said the Lord, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So in wrapping up, we've talked about the who and the why. That we should honor God. That we should honor those in authority. That we should honor everyone. And that honor requires a sacrifice. A true sacrifice. But what about when? Forever. We're going to honor God forever. Even as spirit beings. Let's finish up in Revelation 4. Revelation 4 and verse 10. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.